good evening, everybody, or good morning, wherever you're listening from. As Ryan knows, he's in California. I have Ryan Miller joining the show today. One of my friends, I played with him for a few years in Buffalo, and the Olympics were going on, and I just happened to ask Ryan to jump on the show, and he was so kind to give me a couple minutes out of his time, because when you think of Olympic hockey, you have to think of one of the greatest Olympic goaltenders ever to represent Team USA. You got Jimmy Craig from the 1980 series, and you have Ryan Miller, who holds records. You're 6-1 in your Olympic career. You had an incredible run in 2010. You got one game in 2014. I don't know why they didn't play you more. You had a great game when you played that year. But I asked him to jump on. He was kind enough to say yes. So, Ryan, thank you for joining me tonight.
Hey, Johnny. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I saw you in Buffalo for your annual charity thing. That was a lot of fun. You got to reminisce. What was it, 2006 team coming back together?
Yeah, we got some of the boys back together from 05-06. We had a good run that year. I obviously didn't quite get the Stanley Cup, but it was fun nonetheless. We were kind of joking around. We're like, yeah, we didn't win anything, but we all are getting together here. But it was fun. It was a great team. I think it was special in that I think it kind of captured everything Buffalo loves about hockey all in one season and a lot of excitement. So it was fun to get back and mix that in with my charity event, because it got an extra day with a lot of the guys stuck around. And it was a fun weekend. I hadn't seen some of those guys in quite a while, so it's great.
Yeah, it's cool to think about the good players that were on that team. Obviously, Thomas Vanek and Palmer and all these other guys, these absolute legends. And then kind of transitioning that to your 2010 Olympic team. You got the jersey in the background, number 39, yeah. Obviously, looking back at that team. It's just like an insane team you assembled. And I don't want to dump on the Sabres and kind of gloss over that, but I'm going to dump on the Sabres and gloss over it.
That's the time of year it is.
You know,
it's Olympic time still.
It's Olympic time, so I don't want to burst your bubble, but you're like, listen, you're not chopped liver. You're Ryan Miller. You were a huge part of that 2010 team, and looking at what Connor Hellebuyck did this year, I just wanted to pick your brain, because going into 2010, just like this year, the Canadians are favored. All the media is picking them across the board. And the same thing was in 2010. It was almost worse in 2010 because it was in Vancouver and you had all these stars. Going into that Olympics, was it annoying, the lead up, just all the press that the Canadian team got? Because it had to be just like a little bit too much for you.
I think we did a good job deflecting it. I think Brian Burke was he's really smart in the way he crafted things, and he's been big in the media when he is a GM, or if he's in a management position, he really uses the media to his advantages, right? So I think he did a great job of crafting a story and telling us as well what the story would be, and that we were definitely underdogs, but you guys are good enough. So I think we just kind of leaned into that. Like, we had something to prove, and there was almost like a little bit of weight off your shoulders saying, hey, you guys aren't supposed to win. There's Sweden and Finland, coming off of, strong showings, whether in the Worlds or the past Olympics, and Russia still being a part of it that year. Really, when you get down to it, it was kind of up for grabs. Canada had the hype, but it was up for grabs, and people were kind of making us an afterthought, so to speak. So I think that storyline kind of helped us, and that the pressure was kind of off. We could build towards something, and I thought we did a great job of just saying it was our time to kind of prove who we were.
Now, going into that tournament, obviously it was you, Johnny Quick, and Tim Thomas, mm-hmm. was the vet. Yeah. I think he was, 6 years older than you, and Jonathan Quick was a young kid. Mm-hmm. And you were, the 30-year-old guy in your prime. Did you know going into that tournament that was your net? Like, did you have conversations with the coaching staff and they said, Millsy, this is your net? Like, go run with it.
Yeah, I got a call from Ron Wilson right around the Super Bowl. I think it was at the Super Bowl party. Kidding. Yeah, so I stepped away and took his call, and he just said, I want to give you time to mentally prepare. You're going to be the guy. And I want you to, absorb it and take the time, and it's going to be your net, and, take the lead. And honestly, I was thrilled. I was ready for the challenge, and I had put myself in a position to do it. So I was happy. I was excited. I had planned for it. I mean, I had scheduled my whole year around it, so to
No
speak. Like,
kidding.
yeah, and I was coming off an injury the year prior. I hurt my ankle pretty bad at the end of the 08-09 season, and I barely made it back. We tried to make a playoff push at the end. We missed by a few points, but I missed a good chunk of time. I don't remember how many games exactly, but it's a high ankle sprain. It was pretty uncomfortable to come back from.
Yeah.
So I kind of treated that whole summer and into the next season as I need to just stay on the ice and my training, and I need to plan out how I'm going to handle an Olympic run and a playoff run and map it all out. And I just, that's how I went about it. And it just kind of turned into a season that was nearly storybook, right? Like
Yeah.
close. But
So
yeah, that's how I did it.
how does that work? Because obviously I'm assuming you went to a camp that summer, just like all the guys did this year, right? And you meet and there's like 40, 50 guys there. During the season, are you kind of checking in on the goaltending situation? Because there's a lot of good US goaltenders that play the game, or are you just kind of laser focused? Or like are you aware of the noise, like all the people, the pundits saying, oh, Millsy had a bad week. Maybe that's going to affect the Olympics. Or look at Timmy Thomas is playing great. Jonathan Quick, this young kid, they should give him the net like they had this year with Team USA and Team Canada and all the other teams.
I think it might have been a little less than we're experiencing now. I mean, social media wasn't in its
Yeah.
true full flight at that time, so there's not that obsession of like give me up-to-date info every 10 seconds. So I really wasn't on Twitter, unfortunately, when
No, fortunately.
yeah, no, I know, but it was probably a fortunate thing. And it just went about my business. I think that, and there's also some comfort in knowing that I had the net. And in a weird way, it's kind of like, well, Jonathan and Timmy are there too.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think, not trying to sound good or anything, but I think our whole team had this idea like, we're there to do a job. We want to do our job the best we can, but we have other guys to do a job in a really great way.
Yeah.
And we're all going to get a chance to shine. I think that is even kind of how the lines went out there. That's how the defense were rotated in. That's how, and the only position that kind of stayed was goaltending because you wanted somebody to get hot. And I was given the chance to get hot. And, if I had not gotten hot,
Yeah.
there was next man up. And I think that was, for me, it was kind of comforting because it was like, it felt like a big responsibility, representing the United States in Canada against the world,
Yeah.
like high expectation. I was looking forward to the challenge, but yeah, like there was pressure there. So it was actually kind of nice to have, okay, Timmy's here, he's a great goalie. Johnny's here, he's a great goalie.
And then you mentioned, the high pressure. I noticed this year in this year's Olympics, the round robin was just, I don't want to say boring, like let's get to the medal round and the elimination rounds, but it wasn't like that. When you were there in 2010, there was, like you mentioned earlier, there was a legit five or six teams that could have came out with gold and no one would have been surprised with Canada, USA, even like a Czech Republic and obviously Russia and Finland, Sweden. I don't know. Did you watch this year's games? It seemed like we just were trying to get to the medal rounds because USA in their round robin, they had Germany, Latvia, and Denmark. And it was just like, okay, let's wax these three teams. Canada had Czech, Switzerland, and France. And it was just like blowouts left and right. Did you enjoy, like, was that a benefit to you playing Canada in the round robin because you beat them 5-3? Do you think that helped you or hindered you coming into the gold medal game?
I mean, we can't. I mean, given we were such a close game at the end, but again, it's like it's really hard to beat a team of that caliber twice, right? And
Yeah.
we got when we beat them the one time, and there's adjustments made and all that stuff, and they got the lead on us for most of the game, and we came back and we punched it to overtime. I don't know if it hurt or helped, but it definitely helped us get through the next few games. Like we're flying pretty high, our confidence is high. I mean, we beat Finland pretty soundly,
Yeah.
after we had a tight game against the Swiss, which is not surprising. I think Hiller played great, and then really tight game in that first elimination round. So, I don't know. I think we definitely benefited in one way, but then Canada had the chance to adjust coming into that final.
Yeah, it's a crappy question. I'm sorry, because it's impossible for you to answer because obviously you know the outcome. But it's just like I'm just getting at they should go back to the old days where you have
Oh,
kind of dude
a little
a
more
little
skin
more,
in the game earlier.
yeah, in the round robin ranks where it's just like it was just a, you know, it was so boring the first week of the men's hockey tournament where it's just like okay, let's fast forward through this. Whereas when you played, it was like, damn, there's some good games in the round robin, and some teams might get, you know, a tough first round matchup or potentially eliminated or whatever it may be. But yeah, I don't know. To me, it was just kind of like a foregone conclusion for the like, let's just get to Canada, USA in the final. And I know they had some overtimes, but I don't know.
No, they obviously they it was tight getting there, and you can't discount some of these teams. I mean, ultimately it was the dream matchup, but I think Sweden definitely was hindered by a lot of injuries. They're missing. I can't even name off all the guys, but I feel like it's like four. They had like at least two injury replacements plus two guys. Like, I think Hedman didn't even really play in the elimination game. They had maybe four or five guys who would. So you're talking about like powerhouse country, tough timing, and that's just what it takes in a short tournament, right? You have to have everything go your way. I mean, USA, they finally got the bounce in the right direction at the end there. They got some key saves from Hellebuck and McAvoy with a big save behind,
Huge save,
and
yeah.
a couple blocks too. I thought the US, what I was really not surprised about. I knew we had good defense, but the way they contained teams early on, and then even against Canada for a long stretch, they were really tight on defense. I mean, even with Canada having a lot of puck control through that game, defensively, US was really good.
Well, it's funny, the casual fan probably doesn't notice that. They just look at the final shots on goal. But as a goaltender, do you watch that? It's like, okay, like we know we're all outmatched. Canada's got just outrageously talented forwards and they can score at will. So you notice, like, okay, we're getting perimeter shots, we're not getting stuff from inside the house. Like, that's what you key on.
Early on, for sure, they were doing a great job. They definitely, you're not going to get a game with Canada without them breaking loose at some point. But I thought on some of their most dangerous plays, Canada missed the net or got blocked early on. I thought later they got a few guys break loose. Macklin Celebrini got a breakaway, and then I think McDavid had a breakaway. Both of them were challenged pretty well, so they had to resort to a first option, like McDavid stick handle himself into the paint, and Celebrini got a great shot off, sneaky little shot. But I think we got a guy like Hellebuck. He's very composed. He's not overly in motion. So for him, it's definitely a harder, more dangerous shot than it looked like, because he's able to be composed and handle it. That little shot that goes under the triangle of the stick, under the right leg, that's usually a pretty dangerous shot if you got a guy who's going to be in more motion. But Hellebuck handled it well. But other than that, I mean, the boys are grinding hard. It's great to see.
How do you handle a guy like I don't know if you played against him. I'm sure you did. A guy like McDavid, or it's just like you how do you game plan against that guy?
It's hard. He's very fast, obviously. And he's changing it looks like he's changing the direction of the puck a lot, but he's really just fast, and he's kind of pushing it where he needs it to be. And then he's really settled on the puck when he wants to make his move. He can make the puck move far enough where you have to change your positioning on the puck. And that's where he kind of gets you. It's like it's happening really fast. He changes position. And so you have to make an adjustment, and that's where holes start to open up. He's hard to deal with. And I was a little surprised he got the MVP. I think obviously the amount of points he got is great. For me, I don't know. I think there's a few other people out there who are I would like to see get it,
Well, yeah,
including Hellebuck after that performance at the end.
Well, you're a Michigan guy. Obviously, the Team USA was just loaded with Michigan talent. You got Quinn Hughes and Jack Hughes, and even Werenski had an outstanding tournament playing just solid defense. Can you speak to just growing up in Michigan? Because like when you played on Team USA, you had a big Michigan contingency too. Obviously, Timmy Thomas is from Michigan. I think Timmy Gleason was there, and there's a couple other guys. Ryan, ooh, we're not going to say his name anymore, but yeah, I almost got that wrong. But talk about how cool it is to just see. Obviously, I don't know. Have you talked to Connor Hellebuck? Like, did you give him any word of advice or anything? Did they reach out to you?
No, I had an opportunity to ramp up for the last Olympics, but when I was going to be the goalie coach with the China, but when they moved away from NHL players, they didn't get the agreement in place. I didn't feel like I knew the players they would be playing against well enough to be like you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think I would know the opponents well enough. Like, 'cause that's part of your job as a goalie coach, pre-scout and do stuff. So I didn't think I would know it well enough. And plus my wife was far enough along in her pregnancy with our daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was still during COVID protocol. Like, the kind of the rumor was, hey, if you get stuck in China, you could be there like 3 weeks or a month. Like, they're not, you have to like triple check you before you could even leave.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what if something goes on with my wife? Like, I'm gonna be stuck in China. So I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm going to take a pass on that one. So I didn't really get involved back with this one, 'cause I think the ramp up would have been doing more stuff with USA Hockey. And I've been working with the Sharks and trying to balance that with being a dad. And I just prioritizing that kind of stuff. But I sent Helly just a congrats, and he just said thanks, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, what's like you're the one of the only guys who have been in this situation where you're facing Team Canada going into the gold medal game. Like, I know goaltenders deal with hockey differently. Like, I sat next to you for 2 years in Buffalo. You were laser focused on everything, to the most minute detail. What is your mindset going into a gold medal game versus Canada in Canada? And then, you know, kind of run us through that thought process. 'Cause that's gotta be like insane to kind of calm the nerves.
Yeah, it was hard. I think everyone goes through their, you know, their own thing. I was trying to just settle back into, I'm going to get shots from everywhere, from the best player, like, you know, from Nash, from Aginla, from Crosby, from like, I'm just trying to be like, okay, just settle back in and just, I'm thinking about who I'm going against. 'Cause I like to kind of have tendencies of everybody, righty, lefty, what they like to do and what guys they have, you know, on the point, you know, like, yeah. Who is looking for more of a one-timer, who's distributing, and just thinking that through again, just preparing, like going into overtime, like, you know, you were kind of almost restarting the game. So I just tried to settle it in. And they jumped out, took some shots for a little while. And we had a couple of little chances that kind of don't get remembered in history, but I think Stasny came really close to scoring, and it was kind of like a flat shot that, you know, if he hits that perfect shot, then it, you know, it's all over earlier than people remember. So, you know, that's the thing about overtime, the thing about getting the bounce or getting the shot. And, you know, I think people will remember, obviously, forever Crosby getting that goal, which is, you know, a real fun one, you know, a lot of PTSD this time of year. But it just can go so close in those games, and proud of the way the guys handled it. And you saw the way the Olympics were this year. Every team played overtime just to get to that final.
Yeah.
And then the final goes to overtime, and really those things can go either way, especially they changed it up to the 3-on-3. You know, how do you feel about that?
Like, obviously it's something that the purists will say it's not hockey, right? Oh, it's 3-on-3. It's not how the game should be played. But I feel like we've progressed enough and everybody's used to 3-on-3 hockey that it is what it is. Everybody knows how to play that portion of the game. I don't hate it myself. Yeah. I would like to see 5-on-5, but I just feel like that's the world we live in, where people want action, they want excitement, and they kind of want it to end right then. They don't want to have a 4-overtime game. Whereas I think, I can't speak for you, I would love to see a 4-overtime game in the Olympics. I think it would be incredible. So,
yeah, I think when you start to broadcast and do stuff, I think you have to have some time constraints, because you are dealing with, it's an Olympic event. It's not just hockey.
Yeah.
It's about the spectacle. It's about, and I even go back a little further where I've always loved hockey as, you know, I think of it more like as a kid growing up, like a majority of your season is spent doing tournaments. And hockey is a challenge cup sport. Like that was the original Stanley Cup. It was like a challenge. Like bring in the best teams, we're playing a tournament, who can win? Like that's the original intent. And it turned into a league and it turned into a playoff, and which is awesome. I think it's one of the hardest things you can do in sport. And I think, rightfully so, hockey is one of the toughest championships to win. But there's still a tournament inside of the sport. Like you have the World Championships every year, you have the Olympics, you have previous World Cups, you have what becomes now the Four Nations, but I would love to see that expanded so that we have more technically best on best. But for all these tournaments, I actually don't mind. Like you technically have all these teams signing up for the tournament. The tournament has their own set of rules. Everyone knows what they are going in. It's very detailed in how they explain it. And I could guarantee you that when the GMs are talking about building teams, they're talking about what if we get to the final semifinal or the final, what's going to make a difference? Well, we're playing 3-on-3, so we're going to have to bring guys who know how to do it. So part of me understands why John Cooper was a little bit
Oh my gosh.
heartbroken. He was heartbroken, right? And Coop is somebody he was my lawyer in college, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
He's practicing law in Lansing, Michigan. Had to help me out on a little thing. And
Ryan, oh boy.
hey, man, nothing came of it.
Good
He's a good
lawyer.
lawyer, but I can understand he's heartbroken, and it's tough when you see your team at 5-on-5 was carrying the play in the later part of the game, and oh, we're shifting to 3-on-3, and it levels the playing field a little bit. But we all knew what this was going to be. We all had years of time to plan for it. Like it wasn't a surprise. So I like hockey has different things. Like you have a league, a playoff, a winner. You have other tournaments. I love that there's different ways to win and challenge and have a tournament. So I don't mind that they went that direction because everyone was playing the same rules.
Yeah, and then nobody really complains about the World Cup of Soccer when it goes to a shootout. And that happens quite often where it's like, okay, well, we're not going to play soccer anymore. We're literally just going to kick a ball from 20 feet away and see if you can make a stop. So, no, I totally agree. It irks me. And I'm Canadian. I'm both now a dual citizen. It irks me, Nathan MacKinnon's comments and John Cooper's comments, because were the roles reversed, I think they would have been, yeah, it's totally fair. And everybody, we knew the rules going into it, and everybody's fine with it. So it's just like sour grapes. Like, come on, you guys. You won two games getting to the gold medal game. Like, just deal with it.
I didn't see MacKinnon's setup to what the soundbite became, but I have a feeling he was just more mad about losing and just expressing like, you asked me the question, you figure it out. I don't think he was taking away too much away from the US. I haven't seen the setup, but I would say the media probably set him up to
That
be
doesn't
set.
sound like the media, Ryan. That
I
doesn't
know
sound like them.
they love to make everybody look good.
They're good intentioned wholeheartedly. Well, I want to go back to, the team makeup, because coming into this Olympics, it was just criticized up and down. It's like, well, how do you put, Brock Nelson, he's too old, and JT Miller and Vinny Trocheck and all these guys, and they ended up being super important to this team. Like that line was matched up against McDavid's line throughout the whole game. That was the intent, and they did a great job. What do you say to people who, criticize that? In your eyes, is it more important to have just talent and then you kind of build chemistry throughout the tournament? Or would you rather have it I think the way USA did it. It's like, we're going to bring a grinder, we're going to bring a goal scorer, we're going to bring, specialists. Like Brock Nelson is a monster in the faceoff dot. I think he did a great job throughout the game. If you're a GM, obviously, how do you make this team? Like Jason Robertson is a stud, and then they left him off the team. Cole Caulfield, Lane Hutson, like Adam Fox, like they're superstars, Ryan.
No, I know. I think that if you really get back into it, the US is always in these tournaments has tried to build a team. There's always been guys who their character and their deployment are more specialized. I don't obviously, Billy Guerin is now just laughing his ass off because he had to answer so many questions and he's just probably running around with his middle fingers up in the air, just saying like la 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 la. And rightfully so, because he had to make really hard decisions. He had to put his ass on the line. And I know ultimately he's not playing, but people are going to look to him if they lost and, like, oh,
Yeah, it
you're
falls on
dumb.
him.
You should have picked this one. But ultimately now he gets to just be like,
It's not
I
good.
don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So how good is this for the sport? Because I think in 2010, the growth of the game, I don't want to say exploded, but I was a fan watching you guys. I was playing in the league. I was on vacation. It was probably one of the most exciting games I've ever watched. It was just such a huge moment. Do you still like get recognized for that or noticed for that or seeing like people coming up and go, gosh, you were incredible. Like you were the backbone of Team USA through that run.
Yeah, I get a lot of people who don't really have anything to do with hockey. They identify their viewing experience of hockey as 2010 for sure, because it's a North American Olympics. Everyone's really dialed in at prime time and
Yeah.
taking it all in. And I think as a bigger part of it, I think you always see kind of a bloom around any Olympics in a lot of different sports. I think hockey's it's great to have the NHL guys back because it really emphasizes this. These are the best players, and it feels bad to take something away from the last one and the last couple, but it's just kind of like you're hyping the Olympics up as these are the best in every single sport.
Yeah.
Like you have to have this if hockey is a premier sport for the Olympics. So I think there's always kind of a bloom surrounding it where it piques your interest. I know that when I was a young and impressionable kid, Lillehammer is on and USA is there and you're watching these guys play and they're not that much, older than you because at the time they're still amateurs and, they're like college kids and I was 12 years old and I think they had, did they turn around and have another one like 94 as they straightened
Yeah.
out? Yeah. So it's like, now I'm 14, I'm watching guys who are like 18 to 25 kind of thing. So like, you're really looking up to those guys and wearing the USA jersey. And I can imagine the same thing in all these other countries. You're seeing these kids are looking up to these players and in these moments, and they're wearing their country's colors. And it's just, there's something about it that really just grabs you and it sticks with you. And I was lucky enough to represent the country in these tournaments, a couple and three world championships and two Olympics. And, and each time it just, I think the USA Hockey's just done a great job of just building towards this moment, like where they started to understand they had to kind of build the culture a certain way. And it's not that these guys did a great job. They've been building towards it with some world junior wins, some under 18 wins,
Yeah.
some world championship win last year. It's been a building process, but it hasn't been only in the last 5 or 10 years. It's been 20, 25 years in the making where I think they're trying to get more serious about like the world championships. Like I went just when I was in college and out of college, and the idea was, well, who's available? And guys were like, oh, I'm tired, I'm busy, I got family. And they made it more into a, if you want to do anything with USA Hockey, you guys got to start showing up. And we're taking this seriously and we're building this the right way and we're going to start winning some stuff. Like we're going to be a very serious competitor for all tournaments at all times. And you can see that kind of turning. So it's been like about 15, 20-year process.
And now it's marquee. I think every player wants to, put the jersey on the chest. And you had a huge career. Like you're one of the greatest goaltenders to ever play the game. I think we can say
Thanks.
that. It's true, Ryan. I don't want to say it because
Yeah,
that's
and
just the type of guy I am, but you are.
we didn't get along when we sat directly next to each other for 2 years. It
Hated
was
him.
really
Absolutely
rough
hated
time.
him. No, you are honestly, when Yaroslav Halak came in and took your stall, I was very upset. But he was there for one day, so then I was okay. But when you look back, and I don't know if you've done this, but like you said, every 4 years, like the moment comes up, the Winter Olympics. Was that run like, was that one of the most enjoyable times in your career? Even after I don't know how many games you played in the NHL, hundreds and hundreds of games, you got the Hobey Baker Vezina trophy, like insane trophy shelf you have. Does the silver medal, even though it's like a silver medal, is that one the one that you look back on?
I mean, for a long stretch, it was in my sock drawer
No kidding.
because it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurts to lose the last game. I would like, I could even argue, like, we took fourth in 2014. This is kind of like, oh, nothing. We could have at least had bronze and like won.
Yeah. And you guys got
It's
shellacked at bronze medal game too, right?
I, you know, the hype was that we matched up against Canada the game prior and we lost the
Yeah.
title. And I think it was like 2-1 or something, like,
Versus
or
Canada, yeah.
yeah, and or I can't even remember, like 2-1, 1-0. Johnny played great. We couldn't get him going, and I think everyone just was, he just hit the wall. I think that more than anything, because that was another great team. Yeah, we just couldn't get anything going. But yeah, like I think it just sat in the sock drawer for a while because it's just kind of like it was hard. It's like kind of PTSD. But the things that help with it is you mature a little bit. Even though I was later in my career and like had a lot of time to think about it, it's like it takes a little while to get some perspective. And I do have a lot of gratitude for that season, that tournament. I think one of the things I do like to look back on was we really interacted with the athletes around the village. The women's team was in like a hockey house kind of with us and kind of sharing the energy in a way. And that made it feel really cool. Like you're with your peers. We would walk around the city a little bit when we go see our families. We had a lot of afternoon games, so we had a lot of time to get dinners and just kind of take some other parts of the game in. I'm glad we did that. Because that's what made it kind of feel special was, you know, you're sharing with your family. There's just a ton of hype. They're all having fun. You know, we were winning games, so that's fun. And then, you know, I think we all made a kind of like a decision, like if we, because you can't walk in the opening ceremony, and if you lose, you're not going to make the closing ceremony. And part of, you know, the Olympic spirit is you're going to be there for these events. And I got scored on, and it kind of, you know, that hurt. And then I got told I had to take a drug test, and that was annoying.
Yeah,
Going
great.
down,
Like,
I couldn't even like wallow in it with my teammates. Like I literally had to go like separate and like be drug tested, which is insane. And then my wife and I were dating and just kind of newly dating at the time. She surprised me. She had come up. She was there early in the Olympics and she had come back for that game and arranged a way to be there with my through my parents and met up with my family, met up with her, and I was like, hey, like I really want to do the closing ceremony.
Yeah.
And I think almost I think the whole team or close to the whole team did it. Because we felt like, you know, we it was a special moment to be a part of. Like you could only be there if you made the gold medal game and we had a great tournament and we might as well take it all in.
So why couldn't you go if you didn't
They
win?
would
What was it, shunned upon or?
No, they just got you back to the NHL teams because everything's
Back to
so
your
tight.
games. Yeah.
So like we had like another I think I went right to Pittsburgh to meet the team and I didn't end up playing, but they wanted to give me a little break. But like that's some of the guys had to, you know,
Yeah, report back right
meet the
away.
team right away. So like if you had lost, they wanted you to get back right away.
What's the intensity like afterwards? Because you go from like the Olympics gold medal, and then you go to Pittsburgh, and it's like, this sucks. Like, how long did it take you to get back into like your mindset? Because like you said, like it's crushing. Like it's soul
Yeah.
crushing. Did it take a while to get back into like, okay, like I gotta refocus?
Well, I took that game off. I can't remember getting back in after that. It's kind of a blur now, but
Yeah.
I do remember like we had a pretty good season. You know, I think we actually might have won that division, been, you know, we were a playoff team. So just trying to refocus and reset for the sprint because it's condensed games. I think that's what you're going to see a lot, you know, in the next coming weeks. The teams have had like a, you know, a 2 week break and they're going to have a sprint to the finish.
Yeah.
There's the league is so tight right now. There's going to be no time for these guys to be like, oh, we had such a fun time in the Olympics. You know, let's really see how this goes. It's like, nope, you guys are right back to work. So, that's kind of the approach I feel like we took, you know,
Back to work.
the
So
next big thing is upon us.
you work for the Sharks, you said? Did I catch that correctly?
Yeah.
How do you get that gig?
Mike Greer is the GM there.
I know that.
Yes, Greer's he
Buffalo
called.
connection.
Yeah, so I played with him, well, two iterations with Mike. Mike was there early in my career, and he came back for a stretch at the end of his career. And when he got the job there, he had reached out to me and asked if I could help him on the goalie side. And my daughter had just been born, and I said, I am busy.
No.
And Mike, being a great human being, he's just like, totally understand. I'm going to call you next year. And I helped him out with some stuff surrounding some drafts, just drafting stuff, just double checking things. And then the next year came on, and just been working with Evgeny Nabokov and Thomas Spear and
Okay.
myself are the three goalie guys, and we kind of handle everything divided up. I do mainly prospect work, and I start building out our draft lists for the goalies. I
No
kind of
kidding.
wait. I weight the guys who I like for the draft. And so, like, my first year I got to do that, we took a kid from Switzerland, Christian Kirsch, in the fourth round. He's in the OHL right now, and he's going to go to Quinnipiac next year. So he's having a strong year in the O, which we're happy about. And Josh Ravensbergen is a first round goalie,
Yeah.
and Josh is having a good year in Prince George. This is his third strong year in the WHL, and he'll be going to Michigan State next year.
Of course.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it actually just kind of worked out, and that Trey Augustine's had a great career there. He's a Red Wings prospect.
Yep.
Again, probably looking to see him in the pros next year, and they're slotting in. It just kind of worked out, honestly. I think it's actually a good fit for Josh. Obviously, there's that huge connection in Mess, my school where I went, and my whole family went, and my parents still live in town in East Lansing. But I try to remove myself from that a little bit, and I just make the best decision for you where you feel most comfortable. And it's hard because Michigan State has been ranked between number one and number three for the last few years. They're highly competitive. They got a great coaching staff. They got a Northern Michigan boy, Adam Nightingale. I play with him in the Sioux Indians.
No kidding.
So Knights and I go back. He's from Sheboygan. His brother came. He played at Michigan State after I was leaving, and then his brother came to play at Michigan State as well. And then my buddy Brad Fast is assistant coach there. So he's in my class at Michigan State. So a lot of connection there, and a lot of people I trust to do right by the kids. So
Yeah.
good fit.
Oh, it's one of the best schools in the country. I think it's top three in Michigan. Like, definitely. It's a good school, so you know you're going to have, a decent chance to win. Obviously, Michigan Tech is number one, but
Yeah.
have you heard of them?
Hey,
Unbelievable
dude,
school.
we used to come up there every summer. My dad ran the select stuff for Michigan up there. We go up to Michigan Tech. I do the hockey camp. Well, the select stuff was going on.
No kidding. So you know Holton,
Yeah.
Michigan.
I've been to Houghton, buddy. Come on.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
I know. Ryan Miller, you never knew. You can't get anything past him. That's the one thing that I was a little, not annoyed, but I was impressed by you, because I would usually go to a team and everybody thought I was this dumb goon, but I pride myself in kind of being pretty smart and, this and that. You were smarter than I was, and it was humbling. So, damn it. Come on.
You're an engineer, right?
I am, but still, you're
Yeah.
just a wealth of knowledge across the board. Your geopolitical knowledge is huge. Like, your just random knowledge is very, very well versed. So I was like, dang it, Ryan
Good
Miller.
crossword guy.
I'm better at you than crosswords. I'll plant my
Oh,
flag
okay.
there.
All right.
Just these
Probably.
random, well, I'm not going to
Random
test my
facts,
knowledge.
man.
I'm not going to test my knowledge versus you, but I just want to say is I appreciate you coming on, man. I told you would be on for 20 minutes. Now it's 40 minutes because I'm a dirty, rotten liar. But I do appreciate A, everything you're doing for Buffalo and your charity and everything you've done with me. You don't need to do this. I played with it for 2 years. You played for 20 years. You probably got a million teammates who are whatever. So thank you for coming on. Good luck with the wife and the kids and the San Jose Sharks deal you got going on. And we'll see you around, Millsy.
Yeah, buddy, say hi to all the girls.
I know. It was nice seeing your boy in Buffalo. He's a strapping young man now.
Yeah, he's getting up there. Yeah, he's turning 11 soon.
That's
And
crazy. When
don't worry. And don't
he
worry.
wants to
I
find a
got a little.
wife, let me know.
Yeah, and don't worry. I got a daughter as well, so I'll be calling you for advice.
Oh, I'll be always there. My advice is just don't let them leave the house. So that's all I can give you. I just
Oh,
lock mine
wow.
up until they're 18.
Yeah, I'm sure that's psychologically the right thing to
Oh, that's all I know how to do. I'm not as smart as you. I already told you. You don't have to rub it in. No. All right, buddy. Hey,
All right,
thanks for coming
Jonathan.
on. I appreciate it. Ryan Miller, everybody. Cheers. Have a good one.